children's message, but I know we only have one of us amongst us, so it's totally up to you, Abby, if you want to come forward or not. And she wants to stay, and that is totally okay. So I have a question for you all, or let's play a show and tell, and everyone can name the object.
Life vest.
Life vest. And what do we use a life vest for?
Floating.
Yeah, to float when we are in the in deep waters. And I had to get a life jacket when I was up in Washington State because I used to take my paddleboard out on the lakes. And I did not know at the time that per Coast Guard regulations, a paddleboard is a sailing vessel. So one day I was boarded by the police and they asked for my life jacket and my Coast Guard regulated whistle, which they were kind enough to let me go get. But we need life preservers when we're in that deep water, when it is scary, we reach out and we want something to help us float. And our story today is of the disciples in the storm. And Peter on the waves, he sinks. And have you ever been in a situation of sinking when you were afraid? I think we all have. And we reach out and we cry out because we're afraid. And we're told in our story that in those moments when we call out, that Jesus is there, that Jesus is with us amidst the storm and the waves. And for our children, and especially for us too, let us remember that when Jesus is with us, Jesus is also with those who are Jesus for us. Our parents, our friends, our church family, all of these people can reach out to us and tell us in the midst of the storm that you are loved, that we are here for you, and that you are cared for. And with that, let us pray. Our custom here is on the count of three to bring our hands together as we pray, and then we'll repeat after me. So one, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Even in the midst of the storm.
Even in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
Our first reading, this 11th Sunday of Pentecost, is written in 1 Kings chapter 19. A reading from Kings, now hear the word. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
He
I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, as Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is found on page 4 of your bulletin, and we'll read it responsibly. Psalm 85. I will listen to what the Lord is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our Lord will increase, will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway.
And our second reading is written in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. A reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him shall be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel.
he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, for I am. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I have a quick disclaimer to make about my opening illustration. So everyone, don't worry, this story is not about me. I did not witness this event, but it was an event that was circulated in the surfing community here. So back in December, we had one of those perfectly sunny but yet really cold days. And there's nothing better than a sunny, perfectly cold day in the Pacific Northwest for potentially some of the best surfing around. But this was not that day, because the waves were coming in at 10 plus feet. The surf shops were refusing to rent gear to anyone. They were advising everyone to stay out of the water. And again, this story is not about me, don't worry. But as is always the case, someone went into the water. And at some point in their session, the current being as strong as it was, the waves as tall as they were, that individual was swept out to sea. And trust me, there is nothing more helpless in the world than being caught in a current that no matter how hard you try and paddle against, you are helpless. You're truly reminded of how small you are in the face of such a gigantic force. And while the surf shops were calling the Coast Guard, this individual became just a black dot on the horizon as they were being carried out. And in midst of that panic and that fear, this individual thought, "Well, maybe without the weight of my board, I can swim, make it to shore." And so they unleashed themselves from their board and attempted to swim to safety. But friends, you can't swim. him faster or better off your board. And luckily for this individual, they quickly learned the error of their way, and luckily were managed to find their board again and get strapped back in it, and just hope and pray that someone would come for them. And the story does have a happy ending, because as it happened, there was this huge 20-foot swell that carried that individual back to the safety of the beach. And this was talked about throughout the community here as a lesson when not to go out, a lesson to stay on your board. And those are the elements I think I would like to introduce us to think about today in our story of these disciples on the waves. But our story begins there, right? On the sea. And we're surrounded by the sea here, and we can all remember or connect to that deep, deep mystery of the ocean. A body of water so vast, so deep, so mysterious, and yet we are drawn to its shores, drawn with the hope of connection, draw with the hope of experiencing that mystery of the deep. Now, even now, they say only 20% of the ocean has been explored. They say you are 80% water, and there's somehow a connection we have with that. Somehow life comes from the sea. You are mostly water, and yet at that same time, that ocean can swallow you whole. But is this not the same mystery that we experience in all of our adventures in nature? Climb a high mountain, we stare out at a canyon, we go to a desert. We are captured by those moments of connection with a force beyond us. There's a very famous book written about a mountaineering adventure. It's called Touching the Void. Isn't that our hope that draws us to these encounters? This hope to touch something so utterly beyond ourselves, so deep, so vast. And yet somehow, in that encounter of realizing that you are small and insignificant into the face of that force, a paradox occurs, because somehow you realize that you have meaning, that you matter, that somehow we have some unity with all of what is around us. You can get that in the ocean, on a mountain, looking up at a night sky, on a boat ride that touches a whale. We are surrounded by this mystery of the universe. Just stare up at the night sky and you get it again. But yet, all these encounters have some degree of danger to us. And we mitigate that danger by what? Equipment and skills. Can you imagine a mountaineer without his rain boots or snow gear, without his ice axe? We have gear that is waterproof, that allows us to go places cold. The surfers here have wetsuits. The astronomer has a telescope with a lens that allows him to look at bright stars and not go blind. We mitigate these dangers by equipment and by skill. If you can't swim, I would advise you not to go surfing. If you cannot climb a mountain or scale a vertical building without proper gear, I would advise you don't attempt to climb a half dome in Yosemite. Some of this goes without saying, but we have gear and we have skills that allow us to go out into the outdoors. And I encourage you to think of all this, what we have mentioned, as we turn to our text. And we have the disciples out there on the stormy sea. And they feel helpless. They can't do much. They're scared and they're frightened. And they have come into that encounter of being really small in the face of a force infinitely bigger than them. And in the midst of that fear and of that moment, they see Jesus walking towards them. And we had talked at great length in adult forum this morning about how this is not a miracle story. To think of this as a miracle story is to think incorrectly or to miss the point of the text. Based in Scripture, there's only one person who walks on the water. And we see this in our psalm. The psalmist says, "Your ways, O God, are through the sea. You pass through the mighty waters. You walk on its waves, and yet your footprint is not seen." Matthew doesn't want us to think of Jesus as doing a miracle here. He wants us to realize that the only person walking on the water is God. Jesus is doing what only God can do. Because Jesus created all things. All things are sustained by him. And therefore, there's a unity with all things. And in that unity, God can come walking on the water. And so the disciples are faced with two realities. The moment on the sea in a storm, coming to grips that they are small in the face of that storm. And in the midst of that encounter, they come into the encounter of a God far beyond the power of the sea. A God whose vastness and otherness dwarfs us. And they are called into an encounter with that God. And Peter, whether out of fear of being in the boat, or whether he just has a desire to come to Jesus, steps out of the safety of the boat. And he sinks. But Christ is there, pulling him out. My friends, this story is about us and our lives of faith. We had an opportunity to encounter a God so totally other than us. A mystery of creation, a mystery to understand. And yet that God has come in the form of Christ Jesus to enter into our world, to know you, to have a relationship with you, and to dwell with you. This God, so totally other, loves you and wants to dwell with you. And so we have, if you would, the boat, the church, that allows us to get to know, to encounter, and to understand who this God is. That is why we are given sacraments. For we are told that God is in the presence of water and bread and wine, so that we can encounter this totally other and vastness of God in ourselves. sin, we doubt, we turn away. Yet, Christ is still there to reach us, forgive us, and bring us back. Because that is what Christ does. Right now, reconciling all things back to God. So friends, this morning, we are invited to an encounter with someone more higher, more powerful, more vastly superior and strange than any strangeness we can occur in this world. And yet, that total other is here for you, in you, here to redeem you. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. God of grace and faith, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Christ Jesus. Send the church to proclaim the gospel, both near and far, in church buildings and on street corners, in person and through digital means. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of sky and sea, the plants, animals, mountains, and plains proclaim your glory. Prosper the work of ecologists as they teach us new ways to care for the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters. Hear us, O God. God of peace and justice, you call us to live as your beloved community throughout the world. Instill in local, regional, national, and global political and civic leaders to desire to work for those, to work for the well-being of all people. Hear us, O God. God of care and compassion, you bring assurance when we are afraid. Bring calm to any who are anxious or fearful. Bless the work of therapists, nurses, and other healthcare providers. Comfort all who grieve and soothe any who are sick, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, the family of Gail Langhorst, victims of the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Syria and Turkey, the people of Furlan Lutheran Church in Lebanon and St. Timothy Church, the flooding in Vermont, and certainly those who have been lost and lost possessions in Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of wonder, you accompany us in both joys and sorrows. We pray for children and teachers preparing for a new school year. Make your presence known in our work and play, in lively conversation and in quiet rest. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you send people to renew both church and society. We give you thanks for their lives of faithful service, especially nursing pioneers Florence Nightingale and Clara Moss, whom the church remembers today, as examples of following your call. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Yeah.
thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Line going down this
you wish to just come and receive a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know that anyone and all are welcome to come forward and will be communed at this table. Amen.
Your people, be our hearts alive, our Lord.
We thank you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at your table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now we have a brief moment for any announcements for the good of the order. And we have the other in the back.
If you would take a minute and look at the words of the week, I would just like to remind you on the back page, there is a note there from Social Ministry. And for the month of August, we are asking for donations to help the children of Samaritan House buy clothes and shoes for school. You can write a check. They're going to be purchasing $25 Walmart gift cards. If you just put a little note on the memo line that it's for Samaritan House, or you can buy a gift card yourself at Walmart and drop it off with Raynette. Also, we're looking for donations of pet food for Stone Soup, which is coming up on the 29th of this month. And if you'd just like to drop that off at church, we would appreciate that.
And we got Karen on top.
Just a reminder, the sending hymn today we have sung again, but it's a little confusing. So just to remind you, the chorus is sung twice, and also the verses are each sung twice. So hopefully that'll help you get through without messing up.
Yes, today is our soft start for choir, so anyone that's interested, please join us at 11:45 up here in the choir loft.
Yeah, any more down at the bottom? We have a couple quick ones just for all of our guests and visitors. We have a coffee fellowship hour after service, so come join us if you'd like. And on Thursdays, we're continuing my walk on the beach. If you'd like to go for a walk on the beach with us, with me, come 1 o'clock on Thursday, and we go down to the beach and just have about an hour worth of a stroll on the beach. I might ask some questions. You certainly are open to ask any question you want. We have a great fellowship time with whoever shows up. And on Wednesday of this week, we have a welcome at 12:30. If you'd like to attend that, I will be leading that discussion this Wednesday. With all that being said, let us prepare our hearts and minds for our blessing. The God